Ingle, Oladamare, Jenyami, Olorun, God, Jehovah, Allah, Amun-Ra, the many names for the original ancestor, the ancestor who sees all and knows all, the creator of the heavens and the earth. We do not pour libation to you, but this morning we come pouring libation in memory and honor of our ancestors and asking them to intercede with you on our behalf. We know that our ancestors, being in the spirit world, are closer to you, and there's a greater opportunity that our request will be granted. We ask this morning that you grant the listeners the willingness to open their hearts and their minds to the information that's going to be shared, such that they will hear the truth and then be able to act on the truth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors from Mother Africa, the ancestors who were the beginning of the human family that we now have, no matter what your ethnic or cultural background is, the beginning of human life as we know it was on the African continent. Every person on the face of the earth has as their original ancestor an African. We ask those Africans who were the first to conceive of a family, the first to plant a seed, the first to till the land, the first to domesticate animals, the first to navigate the mighty Nile River to Egypt, the first to build a skyscraper, the first to do surgery, the first to explore the wonders of the galaxy, and as importantly, the first to conceive of the belief in one God. We ask those ancestors to come and be with us today to bring their wisdom, their hard work, their ingenuity to all that we do. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To our ancestors who were murdered, displaced, diminished during our great Holocaust, our great Miafa, we do not forget you. We remember your unwilling sacrifice as your bodies are lined the Sahara and the Atlantic Ocean. We remember you and we honor you and we ask that you come and be with us today. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. We ask our ancestors who gave us the great document, the Ma'at, to come be with us, bring your additional sense of honor and integrity as embodied by Ma'at to our discussions and our listings this morning. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. To those ancestors from the Caribbean islands, from Brazil, from the southern parts of these United States, who through your unpaid labor laid the groundwork for the civilizations that are enjoyed by billions of people around the world. To those ancestors, we say we do not forget you. We remember your sacrifice your hard work. And we ask that you come and be with us today to inspire us to also do the work required to correct a world that has gone mad. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And to those ancestors who are yet to be born, those ancestors for whom we do good work, those ancestors to whom we pledge to honorably do righteous work all the time for ourselves, for our family, for our communities, so we can be correct to be able to benefit from the largesse that the Creator has provided for all of us. Ancestors, we pledge ourselves to continue to do work such that when you return, this place will be a better earth. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We say libation. And finally, we'd like to ask you and our audience to think of one of your ancestors, someone who you would like to be with us this morning. On the count of three, ask that ancestor to come and be with us. One, two, three. Ancestors, come and get your drink. We said libation, libation, libation. It is good.
People use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
There's got to be no sadder show to see. sun shall begin.
America means to me. My opinion is opinionated as intellectually weak, not by all, but by some. Being black in America makes my words automatically dumb. Being black in America means you're athletic, that there's no type of wisdom held in your genetics. Being black in America is hard to explain, undermined is our struggle, and overlooked is our pain. Being black in America means to me that a man can kill an innocent black teen and a jury can set him free. Being black in America makes me wonder, how long will our people tear each other down as our youth continues to plunder? Being black in America holds division. When love and hip-hop and all these housewives can be broadcasted on national television, deteriorating our dignity, while there are everyday blacks working ruthlessly to build our humanity. Being black in America means to me that an unarmed black 18-year-old can be gunned down and shot 10 times by Ferguson police, while that same officer gets off on paid administrative leave, and those blacks rally to protest in those cold Missouri streets. Being black in America means to me that a group of New York City police officers don't know what it means when a black man says, "I can't breathe." So with these words, I speak to enforce that chant of no justice, no peace. If you're black in America, you are born into struggle, not always financially, but racially, not by all, but by some. Being black in America makes my words automatically dumb. Being black in America means you are known for your lies. You must fight for your rights, and you must fight for your life. Being black in America means artificial equality. Our law claims to protect us, yet demolishes our honesty. If you're black in America, your failure is their happiness. They become satisfied when you continue to kill off your statuses. Being black in America means you are stereotyped. You are a victim if your skin isn't naturally white, not by all, but by some. Being black in America makes my words automatically dumb. If you're black in America, to them, your money is illegal. You sell drugs and you steal to support all of your people. Being black in America means you are judged. You try your hardest to succeed, but sometimes it just isn't enough. If you're black in America, they hate when you're successful. They'd rather hold you down because otherwise it's more stressful. Being black in America means you are hated, not by all, but by some. Being black in America makes my words automatically dumb. But wait. Being black in America gives you a little more edge. You have the opportunity to prove them wrong with the weight of your success. If you're educated and black in America, you hold the key to your own. They become scared when you strive to achieve and accomplish all of your goals. We are blacks in America. We have the chance to make a change, to stand on top of our nation and earn respect for our names. Yes, all of us, no, not some. Being educated, hardworking, ambitious, determined blacks in America makes my words no longer dumb.
Hello, my name is Nawanda Chambers, co-host of the Black Reality Think Tank. And I am coming to you with a public service announcement about the COVID-19 blues. Has COVID-19 got you down? Are you unsure of what to do to protect yourself? Stressed out because you do not know how to manage the new challenges that COVID-19 has created? Are you experiencing symptoms? Are you afraid? Do you need help with something else? If you answer yes to any of these questions, contact the crisis line at 1-800-985-5990 or text Talk With Us to 66746. Remember, there is help, and let's stay safe.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Hotep and greetings, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the weekend edition of the Black Reality Think Tank. I am William Rogers. We will be joined by Ms. Lawanda Chambers and Ms. Leola Williams in just a few minutes for a very dynamic and invigorating conversation about our community, about black life in America. We thank you all for joining us. We appreciate your patronage. We appreciate your continued efforts to work with the Black Reality Think Tank family. We are very proud to say now that we have four programs that air under the Black Reality Think Tank umbrella. And I will talk about those a little later on in our program today at the top of the hour. But I do not want to prolong what we are doing. I want to turn the program over immediately right now to Ms. Leola Williams and Ms. Lawanda Chambers. Good afternoon, ladies.
Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers. Thank you for that.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Dr. Rogers.
Good afternoon.
And audience. Welcome to the Black...
Go ahead, Leola.
Okay, before we get started, why don't we read today's profile, and that would be that will be read by Mrs. Chambers. So go ahead, Ms. Chambers, and read your profile, and then we'll get into the discussion.
Wonderful. Thank you for that, Ms. Williams. So today we're going to be talking about Bayard Rustin. He was born in 1912 and died in 1987. Bayard Rustin was a civil rights organizer and activist, best known for his work as advisor to Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1950s and 60s. Bayard Rustin was born in Westchester, Pennsylvania on March 17, 1912. He moved to New York in the 1930s and was involved in pacifist groups in early civil rights protests. combining nonviolent resistance with organizational skills. He was a key advisor to Martin Luther King Jr. in the 1960s. Though he was arrested several times for his own civil disobedience and open homosexuality, he continued to fight for equality. He died in New York City on August 24, 1987. I'm going to talk to you guys a little bit about his early life and education. Bayard Rustin was born over in the Pennsylvania, where he had been raised to believe that his parents were Julia and Jennifer Rustin, when in fact they were his grandparents. He discovered the truth before adolescence, that the woman he thought was his sibling, Florence, was in fact his mother, who had Rustin with West Indian immigrant Archie Hopkins. Rustin attended Wilberforce University in Ohio and Cheney State Teachers College in Pennsylvania, both historically black schools. In 1937, he moved to New York City and studied at City College of New York. He was briefly involved with the Young Communist League in the 1930s before he became disillusioned with its activities and resigned. In his personal philosophy, Rustin combined the pacifism of the Quaker religion, the nonviolent resistance taught by Mahatma Gandhi, and the socialism espoused by African-American labor leader Asa Phillip Randolph. During the Second World War, he worked for Randolph, fighting against racial discrimination and war-related hiring. After meeting A.J. Musse, a minister and labor organizer, he also participated in several pacifist groups, including the Fellowship of Reconciliation. Rustin was punished several times for his beliefs. During the war, he was jailed for 2 years when he refused to register for the draft. When he took part in protests against the segregated public transit system in 1947, he was arrested in North Carolina and sentenced to work on a chain gang for several weeks. In 1953, he was arrested on moral charge for publicly engaging in homosexual activity and was sent to jail for 60 days. However, he continued to live as an openly gay man. By the 1950s, Rustin was an expert organizer of human rights protests. In 1958, he played an important role in coordinating a march in Aldermaston, England, in which 10,000 attendees demonstrated against nuclear weapons. Later on in his career, his publications include Rustin receiving numerous awards and honorary degrees throughout his career. His writings about civil rights were published in the collection Down the Line in 1971 and in Strategies for Freedom in 1976. He continued to speak about the importance of economic equality within the civil rights movement, as well as the need for social rights for gays and lesbians. Thank you all for listening. That is the biography of Bayard Rustin. And so, without further ado, now that we've went over our ancestral profile, I just want to take some time and recognize that it is it is Pride Month. And so, we celebrate that and support. I'm going to turn it over now to Ms. Williams so that she can open up and begin today's discussion. The reason we're all here today to talk about, are we a sideshow? What does that mean to you? Why do we continue to allow them to use us as a sideshow, making us feel less than others? If Black Lives Matter, start acting like it. Time to stand up. Ms. Williams, without further ado, provide us with your commentary.
Thank you, Ms. Chambers. I appreciate you. And again, thanks for everyone who's tuning in, and welcome again to the Black Reality Think Tank, where you can breathe and your voice can be heard. Today, I wanted to talk about African Americans and how we are perceived by others. This is only my opinion, but this opinion came about when I witnessed the African Americans present at Trump's rally in Tulsa. I was surprised and stunned at the same time when I saw them dancing to Michael Jackson's song and taking selfies. They appeared to be enjoying themselves. While watching that episode play out, I began thinking about how they were viewed, or at least viewed by me. I wondered if they were paid to present themselves in that fashion, or they just wanted that 15 seconds of fame. I thought of them as being a sideshow, and how they profit from being viewed as a sideshow, which is our discussion today. So again, just to piggyback on what Ms. Chambers says, why do we allow ourselves to be depicted as a sideshow? Are we being depicted as a sideshow, or are we being stereotyped? When we talk about trauma, we have to go back and see how we continue to be re-traumatized by things that remind us of what happened in our past. Some people are triggered by events that happened in their past by other people's actions. And that's what really triggered me when I saw them taking those selfies while with Trump, a man who has no soul, who has no boundaries, no respect for the next human being, to sit there and portray as though he was a king. That bothered me. So that's why I went back and looked at, were they being a sideshow or a character? How were they used? When people who have been traumatized see things that have been, they have witnessed or have heard, they are reminded of the pain they endured in the past. So I want to share a brief synopsis of the Albano boys who were stolen from their home in the 1900s to become circus performers and later profited from their trauma. So in the early 1900s, there were two African Albano boys who were stolen from their home by circus performers. Black children reared during the post-war baby boom rarely left home without being admonished by their mothers. Y'all stay home. Stay together now, or you might be kidnapped, just like Eco and Ico. Eco and Ico were the sideshow stage names for George and Willie Muse, the grandsons of the former slaves. They were born at the turn of the century to parents who share crop tobacco. George and Willie were just 6 and 9 years old when a circus promoter crept onto the tobacco field where they were working and enticed them in a rare piece of candy. In the time it took to fetch a hoe from the shed, the boys had vanished. For the next 13 years, their mother, Harriet, watched and worried, and she waited for signs of fruit. And that's pretty much how that story goes. And we'll get more into it with the financial part that it plays as we continue to discuss where we are today. As African Americans, how long do we allow ourselves to be re-traumatized? As African Americans, we continue to fight the fight to free ourselves from being depicted as a sideshow. Do we continue to allow others to prey on our trauma and allow them to profit from it? Or do we increase our own knowledge and understanding about our history and how we are, in which we are able to profit ourselves? And that's what we're going to open the discussion up on today, because we want to hear from you. Like I said, we have reached a moment where we need to breathe and we need to voice our opinion. And I appreciate this opportunity and this format to get an understanding of where we are and what we need to do differently in order to make our lives more profitable, more healthy, and more knowledgeable. And I encourage all of you that are listening, please give your input, give some suggestions so that we can grow, so we can help those who are out there struggling to find themselves and find their worth, so they won't be viewed as a character or a sideshow, or the way the white people use it, stereotype. So that's the dilemma. Ooh. Are we really stereotype, or are we really being viewed as a sideshow? And that's the discussion that I would like, you know, to get in today, because I have my opinion. You know, when I look at Diamond and Silk, the two ladies that Fox News hired, you know, how do you view them? Are they profiting from that? Or how do they make the rest of us look because of the things they say and do? So I'm interested in just hearing from you guys and just giving us, you know, some ideas of where we fit into this as a people.
Mm-hmm. And so I like, first of all, thank you for giving us the historical context of this discussion this evening. Because as we think about what is going on around us, the eco-ico, they did not consent to that. But today it seems that we're consenting without action. And so I want to just give you guys a few examples of how African-American stereotypes play out in the TV and the films, right? Because what ends up happening is when we're watching these TVs and films and listening to this music and things like that, there is a level of programming that is occurring at that time. And so when you begin to see these things, you begin to believe these things. And I'll give you guys a good example. As Leola and I were having this discussion earlier about Ico and Ico, and I had already read the history about them and everything, but because I had seen so much marketing about them on the internet as twins, I slightly for a moment forgot that they were not twins. They were not twins, they were brothers, but they were not twins. However, they were marketed as twins. And then another lie that came out of that story too is that they were the sons of the Grand Master, aka the person who owned the sideshow, right? That was a lie. And so what I want to call attention to today is how we're being told lies but are now believing them to be true. And so I'm going to talk to you guys about a few stereotypes that on a primary level, that's what it is, a stereotype. But what it begins to be on a secondary level with the sideshow, when we all begin to spectate to this event and then just watch and think everything's fine and cool and dandy, when actually these people aren't consenting to it, and half the time don't even know the death they died. So we're going to talk about the magical Negro and the characters that have played key roles in films and television. Some of these characters, like let's think about the late Michael Clark Duncan, famously played the character in The Green Mile. Movie Phone wrote up Duncan's character, right? This is what Movie Phone said. What's that? Magical Negroes are also problematic because they have no... Hold on. No, he said he's more of an allegorical symbol than a person. His initials are JC. He has miraculously healing powers, and he voluntarily submits to execution by the state as a way of doing penance for the sins of others. Okay. A magical Negro character is often the sign of lazy writing at best, or of patronizing cynicism at worst. So this magical Negro becomes problematic because they have no inner lives or desires of their own. All right. And instead of existing solely as a support system to the white characters, reinforcing the ideas that African Americans aren't as valuable or as human as their white counterparts. This means they don't require a storyline or a unique storyline of their own, because they're simply, their lives don't matter as much. I think we could say we've seen a little bit of that also occurring in the movie The Help, where we had the ladies on there. The you know, it was supposed to be a story about the maid. However, it was shifted to a White Lives Matter issue. looking at the black best friend, okay, another stereotype that we see a lot in the media. They don't have special powers like the magical Negroes, but they mainly function in films and television, shown to guide the white characters out of challenging circumstances. And so we've seen a little bit of that happening through the maid ship in The Help. Like the magical Negroes, black best friends appear not to have much going on in their own lives, but they turn up exactly at the right moment to coach white characters through life. Tell me how familiar that sounds. In the film, The Devil Wears Prada, for example, we have the actress, Tracy Tom, plays the friend to star Anne Hathaway, reminding Hathaway's character that she's losing touch with her values. Also, actress Aisha Tyler, who plays friend to Jennifer Love Hewitt on The Ghost Whisperer, and Lisa Nicole Carson plays the friend to Calista Flockhart on Ally McBeal. Television executive Rose Catherine Pinkney told The Times that this is the long tradition of black friends in Hollywood. Historical people of color had to play nurturing, rational caretakers of the white lead character. Where does this come from historically? What do black women do for white women historically? We are their maids. We take care of their children. We have always been the black best friend. However, the black best friend has not been respected. Now, this is going to provoke some thought in people, but I really want us to think about this thug stereotype too, because the thug stereotype has been also termed as a super predator most recently. And what I want you guys to really understand about these stereotypes that I'm introducing to you is the language, and how this language transfers to policy, and how this policy transfers to economics. So, let's talk about the thug. There's no shortage of black male actors playing drug dealers, pimps, con artists, and other forms of criminals in television shows and films. We got The Wire, we got Training Day, we got Power. We have all these different examples of the black man as the thug and kingpin of this this glamorized life of selling drugs and making it big and getting your piece of the pie. But the disproportionate amount of African Americans playing criminals in Hollywood fuse the racial stereotype that black men are dangerous and drawn to illicit activities. This is not new. Okay, this is not new. The black man is a criminal. You know, this storyline has been overused. Often these films and television shows provide little context for why more black men than others are likely to end up in the criminal justice system. They overlook how racial and economic injustice makes it more difficult for young black men to evade a prison term, or how policies such as stop and frisk, racial profiling black men, driving while black, targets of their authority. These productions fail to ask whether black men are inherently more likely to be criminals than anyone else, or if society plays a role in creating the cradle to prison pipeline for them. Then, this is my favorite one, you know, especially with me being a black woman, the angry black woman. We are routinely portrayed in television as being sassy, neck-rolling harpies with major attitude problems. The popularity of reality television shows adds fuel to the fire of this stereotype. We're looking at programs like Basketball Wives and Atlanta Housewives and Potomac Housewives and Love and Hip Hop, Atlanta, New York, Miami, Detroit, Chicago, I mean, whatever. All of them, right? We're looking at things like that. And by the way, Chicago and Detroit, Love and Hip Hop don't exist. But I'm just saying it to say that they maintain the storyline that black women are angry and full of drama, that they're very loud and mostly aggressive. And that's how they feature us on those shows. Hardly ever do you see them showing black women being the nurturers that we are, running the households the way that we do, and we don't pay attention to why this is going on. Why does that black woman have to be so angry or be portrayed as angry? What is the sideshow behind that? Then we have the domestic black, because blacks were forced to servitude for hundreds of years in the U.S. It's no surprise.
This call may be recorded.
It's no surprise that one of the earliest stereotypes about African Americans to emerge in television and film is that of the domestic worker of manners. Television shows and movies such as Woola and Gone with the Wind capitalize on the nanny stereotype. In the earlier 20th century, but more recently, we have movies like Driving Miss Daisy, The Help, which I described earlier, who feature African Americans as domestic. When we look at Latinos, they're arguably the group most likely to be typecast as domestic workers today. The controversy over the portrayal of black domestics in Hollywood hasn't gone away. And so, those are some of the stereotypes that we're up against, right? And so how does that play into the sideshow thing? You know, we're looking at the economics behind some of these things, such as the media. We're looking at black-on-black crime. We're looking at the music industry. We're looking at spending money with corporations that funnel money into politicians' hands who do not have your best interests at heart. We're looking at all of these things. And so my question to you is, how do you discontinue being a sideshow? First of all, let's bring some awareness to what the sideshow is. You know, stop being influenced and letting things program you and tell you it's this or that without doing the proper research. That's where it begins. Because if you do your, if you look into your history and go back to the root of where the origin of these problems, you will begin to see and say, I've been content for some time and I have not realized that this was a sort of program. I was participating in a sideshow. Either I was a spectator at the event, or I was the sideshow, meaning the main attraction. And so now it's time to wake up, people, and say, how am I contributing to this vicious cycle? How do I stop what I am doing? How do I build my own economy? I'll give you a good example. Let's talk about Cedric Walker for a minute, okay? We talked about the ICO tool, and so just to give you a little more information, they were products of the Barnum and Bailey stuff. And so we know that they robbed, stole, and everything else to become successful. And so I want to just talk about Cedric Walker, who's a black man, and who had a vision of creating his own circus. And so what he did in 1994 was he did just that. He started recruiting people and training them in 1993. But what's very important to know about this is that at this point in time, there was an opportunity to consent. And so when we look at what he did and how long he's been doing it, it's been at least 25 plus years now, we can look back and say, this is how I began to stop being a sideshow. I began to take on my own economy. I began to capitalize off my own business and market people with the right message. So my advice to you guys today would be to begin to do your research and begin to become critical thinkers about messages that you are receiving. Is that so? That's the question I ask you. And so we got about 15 minutes for the top of the hour, and so I'm going to open up the line and pose the question house do we begin to stop being a part of the sideshow? Ms. Williams, before I start taking any callers, would you care to chime in before I take our first call? Ms. Williams, I can't hear you. Okay. So I'm going to take our first caller, 414-899. Hello, how are you? Hello, 414-899. Would you like to chime in into the discussion? Okay. 414-588, would you care to chime in into this discussion?
Yes, I would. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to piggyback on the reality TV shows that you talked about, stereotype, sideshow. And I would say how we can stop doing that is stop letting these TV networks profit off of us. For example, Love and Hip Hop, for the black women, is glorifying being a bad bitch, more trashy, less classy. And then for the black men, it's making them take pride in being a player or being womanizers. And I think that's discouraging the possibility of building strong black families. And also with the women, the black women images on Love and Hip Hop, I think it's teaching women, black women, to hate their image, with the hair weave down to their knees, you know, all the clown makeup, and even going as far as bleaching the skin, but the image is looking like more like the Caucasian woman. So contacts, different color hair, blonde hair, things like that. And I would say Instagram, YouTube, and all these other social media sites that make money off of this very same thing that we're talking about, the stereotype, the sideshow, entertainment, because it's all entertaining, but it's also putting us in a bad light. So I would say that would be my opinion. That would be a start to stop promoting the negative images ourselves.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All righty. Let's go to 414-801. You have a comment, or are you just listening? Okay, what about 414-748?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, as far as the sideshow, let the sideshow begin. I think it's very insidious and subliminal. I think, you know, and as it contributes to white privilege as well, not only, you know, with the media, but when we're in positions, I mean, it is far too much skinning and grinning, stepping and fetching, and yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and people. I think that one way to counter this sideshow is to be informed, to be educated, to be well briefed, to be prepared, to be punctual in our lifestyles. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, spending a lot of money and all this other kind of stuff, but also it's a over the years, you know, it's developed into a healthcare, you know, phenomena, a mental illness, and we think that this is the way that we're supposed to portray. If we know who we are, if we respect our history and understand our culture, I think that will counter a lot of this sideshow. We have to be louder than everybody else. We have to be seen. We got to be sitting out where everybody can see us, and all these type of things. So I think that, you know, if we look to role models, and to people who role, who model, you know, this positive image of ourselves, I think that would begin to counter a lot of these a lot of this sideshow behavior that we seem to be demonstrating. So that's all I want to say, and I think you guys are doing a great job. You covering it very well, so I don't have that much to say. I'm listening. So keep up the great work.
Thanks for your input. What about Ohio, 419? Comment or listening?
Hello?
You have a comment?
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hi, everyone. Yes, my comment is, I understand that the reality shows are making money. But if we really want them to stop, we just got to turn them off. You know, we just going to have to stop the flow of their money. And that's the best way for us to let them know that we don't appreciate it.
Hello? But when you, my question is to you, when you see people, you know, for an example, the two women that were working for Fox, Diamond and Silk, do you see them as being purposely depicted as people that have the African American community in mind, or do you think Fox News and the other representatives were using them as a sideshow, as a distraction from the truth?
Everybody, if you don't have your own agenda and your own company, if you're not a Black Bill Gates, you are already going to be a sideshow. You're going to be the sideshow unless you own stuff and are being on the top of the crest. But you just have to know how, what your positioning is. Is this your job, or is this how you live your life? Is this what you putting out here as entertainment, as your job? It's like nurses gotta be nurses. Or this is how you really live it, and this is what you want to be left behind. Dave Chappelle struggled with his, they was giving him $50 million. He left it on the table. Then they had this big article on how he done went crazy. Yes, they thought he went crazy. How would you leave this much money on the table? He said he couldn't do it. He wasn't going to keep doing those shows, and he couldn't live with himself. And the whole world turned against him. He's on drugs. He's doing something wrong with him. So, me personally, I, when my agency, one of the highest specialists calls me, well, how are you running your business? What's going on with you? So I told her what I did. She's like, well, I'm kind of impressed because you just thought what you thought what you were going to hear. You thought I wasn't going to utilize my business. I wasn't going to make this epidemic work. Well, nobody had any kind of ideas or plans like you. Because we are trendsetters. That's what we forget about ourselves. They take our ideas and publicate them. They've been doing it for years.
Centuries.
Mm-hmm. Come on now.
So, you don't want to rock, love the hip hop. If you don't find it funny, or if you think that your children is role modeling those women, cut. Drop their network. Drop their sponsor time. Don't buy their products. Don't buy their shoes. Don't do what they selling. We have the power. The off button is high priority. And they will stop it. But y'all also have to know these people are entertainers. They are entertainers. This is their job. And you ought to look like, oh my God, this woman with no education can barely sing, but she's making this kind of money.
True
that ought to be inspiring. because if she can make this money and get y'all to watch her, why can't you do something that we can watch you? It's all money. So if you want to be a sideshow, I'm sorry, I might be mad. Get paid out until your heart can't take it no more. Make your money to cash out. But if you got something else, hey, I feel very strongly how Mr. Chappelle handled his situation. And I didn't know. As far as I thought he was on some type of drug. But hearing his whole story, seeing how he was affected by it, I was like, okay, you're right. I would have left the money on the table.
Yeah, but they're not going to let you get that. But they're not going to let you know that. You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. That's the problem with this whole sideshow issue, because what the media tells you is so. And if you don't do the research, you go right with what they're telling you. We all were guilty of thinking he was losing his mind, you know. But he ain't. And I would have did the same thing. So I agree with you, sister, on that.
Right. So
just most definitely.
To look at their life and whatever side thing that you're doing, if you're not happy with where you at, let's get out, let's move around. If you like wearing pink hair and you can sing, put a tape out. You don't need no producers no more. You don't even need no editors and publishers to write a book. Use the resources we have. If you think your kid is cute, make her song. You like to mimic whoever on the TV, put her on the video. Make it go viral.
Can I say something? Can I say something about the $50 million for Dave Chappelle? Now, you just mentioned use our resources. Now, I understand why he walked away from that, but at the same time, $15 million is a whole lot of resources, where he could have got that $50 million check, then cash out and use those resources to further his cause. Because we all work jobs 9 to 5 where we are sideshows every day. We get nowhere near that amount of money where we can make a difference.
Yeah, but his shit kept it increasingly being more offensive. You know, it started like, oh, the mama joke, you know. It kept getting higher and higher. They wanted more. They needed more. You know what I mean? And he just...
A modern-day satire.
Yes. And he said,
come on,
this
is power. Us sitting right here right now having this discussion is power, right? And so that's some power that he has. And that is going to be delivered to the masses. Now, we're talking about love and hip-hop and our children coming up watching their mothers watching it. So who else is watching it? This now is a family time show and everybody going back and forth, period, back and forth with one another. And we're having a breakdown in communication. So I think I got to salute my brother for recognizing how he had power and how that influence would not be good for the generations to come. Okay, because the damage has already been done. And we got to be coots right now. This is time to wake up. The alarm is ringing. I'm not hitting the snooze button no more. I broke the snooze button.
But can we agree that money is power too?
Yeah, money is power, but if you're gonna take the money and have the power and then demonize your people, how he it's like saying, okay, I'm on here acting like a fool, but I'm just doing this for the money to get you this. They're not thinking like that. They're only thinking what market is telling you.
I
feel you on that.
But that's the difference too. I'm sorry. When David Chappelle made his decision to leave that $50 million, was it because he didn't want to be viewed as a sideshow opposed to being viewed as a comedian? You know, did he want to misrepresent who he was? Or did he want to downgrade his people? You know, money doesn't make everybody, because after he dropped that, he went on to double the $50 million.
Exactly. He had money already. He didn't have to sell out. But you know what? You guys, we're at the top of the hour. This discussion is getting good. Thank you, ladies, for chiming in, because this is what we got to do. We got to look at all sides of it. Yes, because we can breathe on Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition. Top of the hour. Thank you guys for tuning in and continuing. Thanks for sharing.
We all agree tonight, all of the speakers have agreed, that America has a very serious problem. Not only does America have a very serious problem, but our people have a very serious problem. America's problem is us. We're her problem. The only reason she has a problem is she doesn't want us here. And every time you look at yourself, be you black, brown, red, or yellow, a so-called Negro, you represent a person who poses such a serious problem for America because you're not wanted. Once you face this as a fact, then you can start plotting a course that will make you appear intelligent instead of unintelligent. What you and I need to do is learn to forget our differences. When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason. So we are all black people, so-called Negroes, second-class citizens, ex-slaves. You are nothing but an ex-slave. You don't like to be told that. But what else are you? You are ex-slave. You didn't come here on the Mayflower. You came here in a slave ship, in chains, like a horse or a cow or a chicken. And you were brought here by the people.
How I got over, how did I make it over? You know my soul back in wonder, how did I make it over? How I made it over, coming on over all these years. You know my soul back in wonder, how did I make it over? Tell me how we got over, Lord. Had a mighty hard time coming on over. You know my soul back in wonder, how did we make it over? Tell me how we got over. I've been falling and rising all these years, but you know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? But soon as I can see the man that died for me, man that bled and suffered, and he hung on Calvary, and I want to thank him for how he brought me, and I want to thank God for how he taught me. Oh, thank my God how he kept me. I'm gonna thank him God never left me. Then I'm gonna thank God for old time religion. And I'm gonna thank God for giving me a vision. One day I'ma sing and never get tired. And then I'm gonna sing somewhere around God altar. And I'm gonna shout all my trouble over. You know I've got to thank God. Thank Him for being so good to me. How I made it over. I had to cry the midnight hour, coming on over. But you know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? Tell me how I made it over. Lord, Lord, Lord. Falling and rising all these years. You know my soul, look back and wonder, how did I make it over? I'm gonna wear a dark gown in that new Jerusalem. I'm gonna walk the streets of gold. It's in that homeland of soul. I'm gonna view the host in white. They've been toppling day and night, coming up from every nation. They hung their way to the great condemnation. Coming from the north, south, east, and west. They hung their way to a land of rest. And then we're gonna join the heavenly choir. You know we're gonna sing and never get tired. And then we're gonna sing somewhere around God on die. And then we're gonna shout all our trouble over. You know we got to thank God. Thank you for being so good to me. You know, I come to thank God this evening. I come to thank Him this evening. You know, all night long, God kept His angels watching over me. And early this morning, early this morning, God told His angel, God said, touch in my name.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you, my brothers and sisters. We are going to get back to this very invigorating, dynamic discussion. I just want to call your attention that immediately following this program, there is another Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition, Part 2, that will air at 6 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Central Time. It is produced by the Sankofa Elders Council of Milwaukee, and it is under the direction and auspices of Brother Alfonso Watkins, and it is a part of their Let the Elders Speak series. And today they will be talking with two very dynamic individuals, one representing an organization called Africans on the Move, and another who was a former school principal at the Milwaukee Public Schools. And they'll be talking about African-centered education and whether that is vital and how important that is for our community. So that's this afternoon, immediately after this program at 6 p.m. Well, that's not immediately, but we have about an hour gap. But at 6 o'clock, they'll be discussing that here, right here on the Black Reality Think Tank. The Black Reality Think Tank operates under the direction of the TimeForAnAwakening.com network, which is a part of the Black Talk Radio network. And we are here on four times. We have four programs. We have another program that will air on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Central Time, and that program is hosted by myself. This week we will be looking at how we should talk to our children about racism. And what is it that we need to say to them? How do we need to prepare them to deal in the world that we live in? How do we prepare them to understand the significance of the George Floyd situation? How do we get them to understand the history of lynchings and killings? What do we tell them? How do we do it so they don't traumatize them? And so we are going to be talking with a group of young educators from Dallas, Texas, who are working this summer in a sort of a Saturday school format, and they are working with young people. They have just graduated from college, and they're going to be going into education. And so we want to kind of hear how they're going to begin to prepare young folks. That's this Tuesday at 7 p.m. right here on Time for the Awakening, Black Talk Radio, Black Reality Think Tank program. And then on Thursday, we have a program called After Seven, a group of millennials who did a very, very powerful job at their first initial Mating Boards program this past Thursday. They talked about the idea of why does my blackness offend you? And very dynamic discussion. Four young ladies gave very good ideas, real interaction from the audience. That program airs on Thursday from 6 p.m. Central to 8. 6 p.m. Central to 8 right here. So we have four programs, four dynamic programs. And so we are obviously enjoying very much this discussion. The Black Talk Radio Network, as I said, is a part of the Time for an Awakening system. And that program also has other programs as well coming from different parts of the country. From 8 to 10, there is a program called Time for an Awakening. And that program is hosted by the owner of the Time for an Awakening Network, Brother Elliot, out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Brother Richard. And they're also on Sunday from 7 to 10. So this Sunday from 7 to 10, they will be on. Interesting guests, very important, dynamic, powerful figures of our community are usually interviewed by the two of them. So that's on Friday and Sunday. And then on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, there's a program that airs out of Atlanta, Georgia, called African Perspectives. And that's under the direction of Brother Oshiemi Adelabu and his company, Motherland Media. And that program, again, is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So that's our family, that's who we are, and what we're here, trying to make an impact and the uplift of the community. So with that, I'll turn this program back over to Ms. Williams and Ms. Chambers.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that, Dr. Rogers. Before we continue the discussion, I just want to again call attention to that June is LGBT Pride Month. Lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Pride Month is celebrated annually in June to honor the 1969 Stonewall riots and works to achieve equal justice and equal opportunity for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and Christian Americans. In June of 1969, patrons and supporters of the Stonewall Inn in New York City staged an uprising to resist the police harassment and persecution to which LGBT Americans were commonly subjected. This uprising marks the beginning of a movement to outlaw discriminatory laws and practices against LGBT Americans. And so I salute the LGBT community and want you to know we celebrate Pride Month alongside with you. In addition to that, I also would like to bring awareness to June is also Home Ownership Month. And we're also celebrating Americans who are hashtag creating homes by becoming homeowners. They are one step closer to the American dream, and sharing their experience can help others to do the same. I want you to know that we have home ownership resources right here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Housing Resource Incorporation provides you with your home buyer's education, foreclosure preparedness and readiness education, and we are also able to help you to learn how to save and budget. And so you can gain that information by reaching out to Housing Resources, HRI.com/donate. Also, please continue to support Black Sisters Who's Talking, our efforts on this show
by donating and becoming a patron of the Black History Talk community. This can be done by going to www.patreon.com/Black Sister Talk. BlackSisterTalk. Again, that's www.patreon.com/Black Sister Talk. And so,
all righty. Well, thank you very much, Ms. Chambers. What I was saying before, we were talking about the sideshow. So, you know, as I look at history, history has a tendency to repeat itself in different ways. Maybe they're not kidnapping children to do a circus performance or doing any sideshows, but they are kidnapping children to develop human trafficking in other things, selling drugs and different things like that. Therefore, we as a people continue to be re-traumatized by the past experiences that affects our today. Yet, the system continue to make dollars off of those who are experiencing trauma through what they call the diagnostic five. So when they come up with those codes, that means that your child has some kind of mental health issue and that it's viewed as a problematic child. So are we still being stereotyped? Or are we still being used as a sideshow? It goes back to the question again. How do we view ourselves as a people? And when the song played, how did we get over? How did we get over? We got over by the elders that helped us to grow, who educated us from their personal experience, their traumas, in order that we could set ourselves to be in a better place in order to be more productive. So getting back to that, where are we today? Do we continue to be distracted? Because really, that's what a sideshow is. A sideshow is the ability to cause a distraction and to keep feeding us information that we are not going to go and research on our own in order to get us to believe that they're the only people that can tell the truth. It's oftentimes that we have to question who we are and get validated from those who have stolen our identity in the first place to validate what we know and what we've been doing for each other over the years. So we get back to that. Does our trauma continue to fill their pockets? Or do we take what we know about ourselves and profit within our own community, within our own race of people? We need to learn to trust and stop being so confused about who we are and how we got here. Most people don't like to go backtracking into history. Sometimes you need to look back, according to Sankofa. Look back, pull the information into the now. Know where you've been so you can go from there and figure out where you need to end up. We need to start somewhere, people. It is time for us to take the value that was handed down to us and begin to fertilize and utilize our own talents and our own communities. So.
Exactly. And to that point, Ms. Williams, a really good resource I would suggest if you're interested in getting some of that history and looking back, Stamps from the Beginning by Ibram X. Kendi. It's a definitive history of racist ideas in America. And so let's go back. Let's go back to some of that information and see where the origin is. In order to understand the problem you want to go back to the origin, because what ends up happening is, you know, upbringing, right? We trust that the teacher is going to teach us the truth. But if the teacher thinks the truth is the truth when it's not, then we have a misguided group of people. And so we really have to dig deep and see where the origin of this issue of the sideshow began. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and open back up the lines and see if any of our listeners would care to chime in and add to this discussion. 334-414, would you care to join, add anything to the discussion?
Sure. First of all, good afternoon, sisters, and thank you so very much. I came in at the close of the first hour and through the interlude, and thank you so very much for Malcolm. And thank you so very much for, was that Mahalia Jackson, how we got over?
Yes.
Thank you so very much for playing that. It definitely stirred my soul. You know, I think that before we start to talk about the collective, sisters, I really think that we really have to be honest with ourselves at the individual level. Have we really, really taken the opportunity to look our own selves in the mirror and take a deep look into that mirror to see who we are? I think that's a very fundamental question to ask. Who am I? Who are you? And who are we together? And to try to use that as a launching pad to be able to start to develop that trust within ourselves, to be able to develop that way with all with ourselves first, and then tap into the collective. And so the question that I ask is rhetorically, do we really look at ourselves individually? And you know, you can lie to everybody else, but don't lie to yourself. And so that's my contribution on today, and thank you so very much for taking my call. I'll continue to listen.
Thank you very much. And that is a good question. That's a good question, because in order for you to even direct someone else, one must challenge themselves to know who they are so they can help another person transition to the phase of identifying their characteristics and who they are. And that's why that history is so important. And as a counselor in a mental health field, I wouldn't be able to help someone else unless I have dealt with my own trauma. I use my experience to let families understand. I know where you're at. I've been where you've been. I've overcome a lot of things, especially being a daughter of 16. So when it comes time to learning who you are, or the desire to even discover who you are and where you came from, that's important to know that you have a foundation that you're standing on in order to help those who are struggling to overcome some of the hurt and pain that they're experiencing. Because there are some people who have been human trafficked, who have been made into a sideshow, who had to perform for other people. And to overcome that and to continue to look at themselves in the face, in the mirror, that's challenging within itself. So that's kind of hard for a lot of people to imagine that they are strong enough to say, I can look in the mirror and say, hey, I've come a long way, and take that strength and that courage and try to help pull somebody else up. So trust me, 334, I understand what you're saying. One must look at self before they're able to help someone else, or either to go back and look at their history to see their strength and see where it came from and how they got over this point in their lives. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, and it's just a thought-provoking question, because what comes to mind for me is what came first, the chicken or the egg, when we're thinking about the self, right? Because the self is developed upon interaction, you know, and that upbringing, and who you are around, and what they're putting into you. That's where that origin of self is created. And so I would say what is influencing the self to help you look at the self. Because if you're getting ideas and images about this is who self is supposed to be, then self would be misguided. So it's depicting the real from the fake, you know, and having enough sense to understand what that is. And if you don't have a good teacher bringing you up to identify those things, the self may not be so strong. And so, I like what you're saying, 334. We're gonna go over to our next caller, 414-801. Would you care to join in on
the- Hello, this is Lucille Bennett. I have really enjoyed the show. The talk, I should say. And I want to thank you guys for bringing that black reality of the sideshow, because I never thought of it. I always thought of it as stereotype, oh, yeah, black like this. But I wanted to hit on one, since so much has been hit on, and I was thinking about, I know a lot of people that have gone to college, and there's a glass ceiling, and they fall for the what they call the American dream, which is a sideshow, that they never reach the pinnacle of their success. And they're working at jobs way below their education level. And so, and it's like this, the two boys. I pulled it up and I looked at them, and if they had their hair cut, it would probably be much better, but they made them more of a sideshow. And that led me to look at what other sideshows they got out there, and the thug life and all of that, and people calling themselves thugs. You call yourself something, you become something. The names that they name their kids and different things. It's so much that people have put on, which is not the true self. And so I had to look at myself. What am I doing? I wasn't prepared for a lot of things that I've seen in life, and all I can do is educate. That's my best suit, is to educate people and tell them. But I need to know my history so they don't repeat the mistakes of the past. And that's some of it that a lot of people don't. When you know the history, then you parallel it to the present. Like where we're at right now, we got a lot of opportunities in front of us that will take us out of that sideshow and making the money, and then we get crumbs from it. And even if we start our own, is it enough to pull somebody else in? Because as I used to work in the prisons, and I watched the young men that went back to the inner city and those that went back to the suburbs, the ones in the suburbs did awesome, because there was money to hire them. In the inner city, it wasn't, so they had to go back to what they knew best, what was thrown at them in the 80s and stuff, their dad in the 80s of selling drugs. So they pick it up. And we know all that was criminalized. And they're serving time, so there's no dads in the home. And with the 50s, with the what they call welfare, no man could be in the house. And so they've taken the divided this culture so badly that we're at a point now where our kids don't even care, and some of them won't even listen. So to get rid of that sideshow, we better look and see who we are in that mirror and say, what am I doing? And it just needs to get through to parents. What am I doing? Because once one of these kids are killed or something, they were such a good boy, but they was running up and down the street at 12 o'clock at night selling drugs and running with the gang, and they get to fighting. There's so much that has led to the destruction of a culture. So I want to say thank you. And thank you again for the program, and you're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you so much, Ms. Bennett. Oh, my goodness. Come on now. Let's speak the truth. That's what I'm talking about. Ms. Williams, you carry chime in? You know, I get fired up. I'm telling you guys, I get fired up when I hear y'all talking about this excellence. You know, this is what it is about, people. And we got to teach that to our children. We got to teach that to the children. Thank you so much for that, Ms. Bennett, because the education system is also a sideshow. Come on.
Yes.
Let's get into that.
Yes.
Get into it, Ms. Bennett. Get into it.
Yes.
Sideshow at the school level, at the education level, what we're teaching these kids, we're programming these kids, all this kind of crap. Come on now.
You know,
every
you
book
know,
I read was written by a white man growing up.
Yeah, yeah,
absolutely.
Can I ask one more thing? There's a young man, and he happens to be my oldest son. Well, he learned about the 40 acres and a mule, and he had the American dream. And now that he's in his 50s, his whole life has crumbled around him. He's no good for himself, his children, nobody, because that American dream did not come true. And that is a sad picture. No matter what I say, hey, your mama, he said, but you're a female, mom, and females can do anything. I know anybody can do anything they want to do. You just have to make that decision and not let that throw you down. And I think that's something that throws a lot of people down, is that when they fail, there's no incentive to get up. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
You're welcome.
But, you know, that's what life has been like for us for so long. And so we lack resilience. Because when you become traumatized, what you lose the ability to do, and I got to be honest with y'all, because I know I say a lot of times that we got to think critically, but I know that that's an issue for folks who have been traumatized. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Look at us.
Yes.
When you are traumatized, you lose the ability to critically think. So understand that's part of the sideshow too. Taking your ability to think of other possibilities to get up out of it. I hear people ask me, they say, man, Ms. Chambers, you so strong. I said, they ain't going to break my spirit. You understand me? Because I already know that was designed for them to do that, and I'm not going to allow it. So I'm going to go ahead and take another call. Ms. Denny, I appreciate you continuing to call in to the show. Please continue calling in to the show. We
okay.
need that information. We need that information. Okay, so I'm going to take another caller. Miss Williams, you want to chime in before I take another caller?
No, go ahead. Take another call.
Because you see, I'm fired up. I'm fired up, but I want to make sure everybody
up.
Get a voice. Cause I want to make sure everybody get a chance to speak, because, again, this is the Black Reality Think Tank is the place where you can breathe. You can breathe. And so I'm going to go to caller 414-235. Would you care to join in to this discussion? Okay. Well, thank you for listening, 414-235. Please do continue to come to the Black Reality Think Tank Weekend Edition, and maybe you care to chime in the future. Thank you so much. I'm going to take caller 414-759. Hello, how are you?
I am good, Ms. Chambers. I love this show every week that you guys are having it. I think you have some great discussions. I look forward to many more. The question that was asked was, are we a sideshow? Well, in my opinion, I think that's going to continue to be a part of other individuals because it's so embedded in their hearts. And unless their hearts change about how they view people of color, we're going to always be looked upon, or it's going to be their perception of us as people of color, and whatever little acronyms or whatever words they want to put on us or label us to be. I think it is important for us to look in the mirror to know who we are and not what they say we are. I think going forward, calling for the status quo, whether it's with education, the systemic information that's going around with us and that is imposed upon us, we just got to start letting our voices be heard and stop just falling for whatever's being told and hold people accountable, because accountability and ownership of anything that you take part in has to happen. And if it's not happening that way, then we have that much power or say so to make sure that it is happening. And that's just my take on it.
Oh, I appreciate you, Ms. Jane. I appreciate you so much. And so I'm gonna just read a poem to you guys really quickly, because this discussion led me right to this inspiration, and it just speaks to how we have to teach up our children and give them that motivation and give them that encouragement, because they got to have the truth about who they are. And so the poem is, "Hey, black child, do you know who you are? Who you really are? Do you know who you can be? What you want to be? If you try to be, what you can be? Hey, black child, do you know where you are going? Where you're really going? Do you know you can learn what you want to learn? If you try to learn what you can learn? Hey, black child, do you know you are strong? I mean, really strong. Do you know you can do what you want to do? If you try to do what you can do? Hey, black child, be what you can be. Learn what you must learn. Do what you can do, and tomorrow your nation will be what you want it to be." That poem was written by Council Color. And so that's where we have to go. We got to tap into that imagination. We got to tap into that mindset of, that happens, I can get up and keep going. If at first you don't succeed, get up and try again. Recognize where we are as a people. I'm going to take a call from, I don't have this person's number, but this person has been on the line since we've had the discussion. So, Mr. Jacobs, would you care to join in on this discussion? Okay, Mr. Jacobs, you're just here to listen? All right. Well,
I interject, Ms. Chambers. So here's the question. Do you think we're viewed as a sideshow like the Albino Boys because a profit can be made because of our differences, like all the other profits that have been made because of who we are, how we look, how they make us look when they make the dials like the Angemama and different things like that. So, or the little black boys on the lawn. All of these products sold because they were in black. Do we still see ourselves as a commodity to the benefit of society to continue to make a profit? See, that's kind of where I'm at with it. Because we have to reach a point in our lives where we must invest in ourselves in order to see a difference or a change within ourselves and the community in which we live. See, oftentimes what happens, me coming from the South, being born and raised on a plantation, my ideology is different, because I view things as, if I make money in the valley, I'm going to continue to support those in the valley. The only way that the rich become richer is because we feel that we've elevated ourselves to a certain degree, reached a certain level economically, that we can move out in a different area. Not understanding that they really don't want you out there in the first place. But the thing it is, now you out there, and you're looking like, as they say in the old days, like a fly in the buttermilk. You're standing out because you're the only darky out there. So now that you increased your status quo economically, I can go and hang with them. You were no more like then than you are at that point when you do move out there. And see, that's what we have to look at. So now you're viewed as someone else. And then your kids get picked on and looked at like they're in a foreign country. So we have to get to a point where we quit making money off of our own community and go and support a community somewhere else. See, me, I look at that as a sideshow within itself. Because now I want to mingle with the clouds, with the clowns. I want to mingle with those that don't look like me, those that don't like me, but I want to go out there because I've made enough money to live where they live. And people can live where they want to live, but don't complain. Don't complain when you go get your nails done and your feet done and they're sitting there talking about you in their language about your feet. You can't really say anything because you don't understand what they're saying. But they take your money with a smile. So for me, in my opinion, when you have black people out there, again, I'm going to bring up Trump. Because Trump, not only is he a sideshow, he's not a sideshow, he's a spectacle and a fool. But we have our black people out there representing this idiot as though they represent all of us.
Bingo.
Some black people sideshows because you're trying to make yourself look more important. But here it is, a white man telling you all the time that he don't even like your black ape. But yet you can say in your own words, out of your own mouth, he's done more for the black people than any president we've seen. So here he got you believing a lie that you don't carry on. See, to me, that's a sideshow. So are you getting paid? How much are you getting paid to have people look at you like you just a dang on clown? See, I take offense to that. For any black person to stand behind a man that promote violence, promote racism, that don't give a damn about you one way or the other, has nothing nice to say about anybody, but uses your black face to try to draw in other black faces to support him. That's my problem. And that's how I look at this whole sideshow, stereotype, whatever you want to call it. We get bamboozled and hoodwinked by those that look like us sometimes to feed into their mess, knowing it's mess. But they want to promote this man, knowing dang on well he's not worth two dead flies. But that's where I'm at. That's my opinion. It's only mine. So, there you go, Ms. Chambers.
You know what? Come on, let's get into it, Ms. Williams. Let's get into it. Okay, we back on number 45, right? And all while we over here, not me, because let me speak up for myself. In no shape, form, or fashion does diamonds still speak for me as a black woman. Okay, they do not represent me. I'll let you guys say what you want to say about them representing me, but they don't represent me. And all while they over here singing and dancing to Michael Jackson's anthem, you know, he over here in his office back to doing his evil bidding, trying to take down Obamacare. Come on now. Let's pay attention to what's going on. You think this is where your vote needs to go, but you need Obamacare. You need to understand the issues and how they're really going to affect you while you over here singing and dancing and having a good time because he invited you to the big dance. It's just like that movie Carrie. You know, the young lady she was a misfit, got invited to the prom by the coolest dude in school, got to the prom, and all hell broke loose. See, but the only difference between this story is that white lady had sense enough to show up with a reckoning. What is going on with black people when you see something going on like this?
how do you respond? Do you sit there and say, oh, well, I'm going to give him my vote because I'm still getting money in my pocket? That ain't going to happen for long. If you see things got a hold to it right now. So, yeah, let's get into that. Call a 414-899. You can't chime in on this part of the discussion?
Just listening.
All right, thank you. How about 414-801? You can't chime in for this part of the discussion.
Yes, I would. I've come to a point in my life. I don't want anyone speaking for me. I will speak for myself. I've had that on jobs and it's like, people, if you're working in a place where people are Republicans and you're Democrat, and just like, I don't believe in discussing what I believe, I'm going to vote, but I know what has been done, and they expect us to be Democrat, and they make remarks and stuff. No, I'm not going to even let you know why or what I'm doing, because now that I have actually studied what the 13th Amendment is about, and seeing how our government has played a major part in it. When I say a major part, they criminalized all the black men. And a woman, too. I mean, I remember when the ship started. And I was working in the system, and I seen what was happening. And so you got a whole two generations of people who don't have a clue. And so when all they got to say is, I love black people. Well, loving me and not fixing my streets and using my money for you to have a $280,000 retirement does not say you love me. Oops. I'm understanding that there is a need for women that have raised their children without a husband, and there's kids out there that are doing good things. Let's just not talk about the ones who are getting in trouble, because that's going to be with us always. But the ones, and they can't even get Social Security at age of retirement because they raise the kids to make money to take care of the government. And then the government takes them and shut it down, and then they go and get into all kinds of things, and they've been criminalized. So, no, you cannot speak for me. I want my voice to be heard. Why can't we tell our politicians what we want instead of telling them what they want us to have? Because if I don't like broccoli, why are you going to keep feeding me broccoli? That's the definition of insanity.
Come on.
And that trickle-down effect that they talked about, giving the money to all the big businesses out here, all the airplanes, the banks, and all this stuff. I've talked to several people, and they think that the money from the banks, because they take a trickle-down, no, it never reaches back to the community. So how can you build it up? So we got to start looking at things. If you don't want somebody to speak for you, then you need to say what you want. And I don't like all these platforms when they get out and make all these wahoo, because behind the scenes, they have actually written up what they're going to do, how they're going to do it, and who's going to pay for it. So, no, don't speak for me.
Bingo. So come on now.
That's where I'm at. I don't want to say it angers me to a point. It makes me want to educate people so they quit falling for the okey-doke. Because when they fall for the okey-doke, it puts us back into the sideshow. I mean, even if you're a teacher who has kids that they can mold into something, but you've been told how far to go, when to go, how fast, and this here, and you know we all do not learn at the same time. We all learn.
Yes, because some of us are kinesthetic learners, you know.
Girl,
some of us learn kinesthetically.
So when you said to me that, I know this, I need to see the song and dance to go behind your statement that going to make it come out here and happen. And I don't see it happening. So we need to start seeing it happen, and we need to educate more of our children to take roles and leadership in our community. Because if you look at it, it's so shallow.
Exactly.
It's like we don't have money. You're going to talk, where the leaders are going to come from? Look at Martin Luther King. He died so early in his life because he gave up for it. But you know, it's not fair, because all that he did, now it looks like nothing. Because we're not following the education model to get our kids, and that means it has to be in the home. The parents have to be educated in order to tell our kids what they need to know, because the public is not interested in educating them
to go further. It's educating them. Go to school, get a good education, and you'll get a good job. And like I said in my other statement, I'm seeing people working in the post. I'm seeing people working sweeper. And they have PhDs. This is what's driving me. How can you do this? Well, I think all these people with all these PhDs working beneath themselves need to stand up and say, no, you're not speaking for me anymore. Okay.
No, well, thank you for that, Ms. Bennett. You know, just listening to you talk, it just reminds me, Black folks in America, we're in a domestic abuse relationship, you know, with the government, basically. That's how I see it. They tell us, they whip our ass, and then they tell us they sorry, and we be like, okay, daddy, and we jump right back up on the pony. Come on now, what we gonna do, people? 414-235, you want to join in on the conversation? Okay, I'm going to go to 414-748. You want to join in this conversation? Okay, thank you for listening, 414-748. 414-759, you care to join in the conversation?
Oh, yeah, I care to join in the conversation, Ms. Chambers. I'm not sure the lady just got through talking, but I have to add on to that, on to what she was saying about, you know, how they systemically setting up our Black men to go to prison. But now they're also attacking the women as well. It's called attacking the womb when we're having our babies, because we don't get the same amount or adequate health care as our counterparts that of other colors. So we do have to use our platform and talk for ourselves, because not everybody that looks like us or amongst us are going in the same direction. So we have to do what we have to do for people that we can help, and educate those to continue to help, you know, people in their circles as well. I have grandchildren, you know, they're all shades of colors. I have to tell them all that they're beautiful, they're handsome, because I don't want anybody in this world to make them feel or label them or tell them that they're not beautiful or handsome young men and women as they get older, or play them against each other. Because I want them to, when they look in that mirror, to see that I see a beautiful face, and I can do whatever I put my mind to. And if I'm not in agreement with him, I do have a voice where I can say and express how I'm feeling and what are you doing to me, and that I'm not no longer going to take it.
Thank you, Ms. Lane. Thank you, Ms. Lane. And so, for what it looks like is we are all in agreement that we have been a part of this side show. And I think from this discussion that we had this evening, and you will be able to go on the social media platforms, or, you know, contact us individually in our email account to you know, share any other remarks that you may have about this side show debacle. But it's very important to understand how you play into the side show, what your role is, and what you must do to remove yourself from being a spectator or the main event of the side show. Things that I've encouraged you to do throughout this discussion was to go ahead and learn to not just listen to what people tell you. Do your research. Do your research. I'll tell you a prime example. Looking at number 45 and all the lies that he tells us, you know, do your research. He claimed that he got us the Queen of Death. That's a lie. He claimed that he stopped people very early on from China with this virus, this pandemic he's going through. That's a lie. He falsely claimed that he left empty cupboards of supplies for the pandemic. That's a lie. He misleadingly claimed that the U.S. has conducted more coronavirus testing, but we've seen him opening on television saying, hey, we need to maybe stop some testing so these numbers, these statistics don't keep getting out of control. I mean, how many lies do you need to be told and then see your black face in the front row clapping, clapping, clapping when you, as a black person, is the number one person who is affected by the coronavirus? And so that's you joining in and to the side show when you know a liar is lying to you and you feel like, okay, but he gonna do this for me though later. Quit it. Cut it out. Miss Williams,
thank you.
Do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, ma'am.
I
mean,
come on now. I just don't want to talk to y'all like that, but I love you, so I got to tell you the truth.
Again, you know, I want you guys to look at and ask yourself a question, like the man from Montgomery, Alabama said. Look at yourself. See what you're missing. See what you need to do to change things within yourself in order to make a difference in somebody else's life. Do you see yourself as a sideshow, or are you living in the framework of being a stereotypical person? So those are the things you have to look at. And what I have a book here that I think you guys would be interested in reading. It is called The Destruction of Black Civilization by Chancellor Williams. The Destruction of Black Civilization. So this is what he writes. I'm going to read this little poem that he wrote. What became of the black people of summer? The traveler asked the old man. For ancient records show that the people of summer were black. What happened to them? Ah, the old man sighed. They lost their history, so they died. So that, I say this to say that, in order for you to know the difficult travels that we had to make, coming from Africa, crossing the seas against our will, coming into a country that we're not liked, being used as slaves, as property, as commodity, we need to take what we know. And if you don't know, go and ask somebody or do your own research, so you won't have to be recaptive to become enslaved to somebody else's show. It's time to take what we know and put it to the betterment for our good and quit being played like we don't know. So it's time to take a closer look at who we are, from whence we came, in order to be a better person, in order to educate the community and the world about who we are. We shouldn't be defined by our looks or our colors, but we should be able to identify who we are, where we going, and how we gonna get there, and who in the hell we want to take with us without being outcasted. And that's my closing remarks. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for that, Ms. Williams. And so with that being said, I want to just let you guys know, if you're interested in reaching out to us at all via email, you can email us at whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com, and you just spell it out, each and every word, whereyoucanbreathe@gmail.com. And then if you're also interested in donating and helping to fund us in our continued efforts on the show, please visit us at www.patreon.com/blacksistertalk.com. That's www.patreon.com/blacksistertalk. Thank you all for joining in on the conversation tonight. Today, I mean, it is a blessing to have you. I hope that you walk away with some thoughts to vote, some thoughts to vote to move. And I'll tune in with us next Saturday from 3 to 5 with the Black Reality Think Tank.
There was a day!
And myself, the Wanda Congress, and Missy on the Ring.
There was a time! When I used to dance. There was a time!
used to stay.